Would this morning to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. And we'll read, if we can, from 16 to 20. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. And we want to look, as the Lord will enable us this morning, at verses 16, 17 and 18, the calling of Andrew and Peter to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And they left their nets and they followed him. Now, normally after a Bible study, we would look at something of what the Bible study was about. And on Friday night, we had the Bible study, and we were on Catechism 42. What is the sum of the Ten Commandments? And I'm sure you will know that the sum of the Ten Commandments is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself. It's to love God and to love your neighbour. And today I want to, when we look at the call of Peter and Andrew, we want to bring in something of that as we go through. But we've been looking at the opening chapter of Mark's Gospel. And we saw how Jesus was tempted. And he now says the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Now immediately after that you see the calling of these two disciples. Now we want to look at three things really today, and it's really just looking at the verbs that you have in these verses, looking at three of the verbs that refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that he walked by the Sea of Galilee. So our first point is that Jesus walked. Secondly, we see that Jesus saw. And we see that in verse 16, Jesus walked and he saw Simon and Andrew. So the second point is that Jesus saw. And then thirdly, Jesus said. And he said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. So these three points today that the young people will be able to remember. Jesus walked, Jesus saw, and Jesus said. These three points. Now the first thing we notice is then that Jesus walked. It says that now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee. Now as he walked. Now the word now tells you something of when he was walking by the Sea of Galilee. And many of the commentators, most of the commentators say that this is the beginning of the second year of Jesus' ministry. Andrew and Peter already know who the Lord is, because you see that even when you look at the account that's given in Luke's Gospel, when Jesus comes and he tells them to cast their nets into the sea, Peter says, Master, we've been out fishing all night. Peter knows who the Lord is. He knows that he is a teacher. And he shows great respect to the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, Master, we have been fishing all night, but because you have said it, we will do it. You discover that Andrew was one of John the Baptist's disciples. And do you remember how Andrew follows the Lord Jesus? John says, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And Andrew goes and gets his brother Peter, and they come and they see the Lord Jesus Christ. You also see that Philip goes and gets Nathanael. But Jesus goes down then, down into Judea, down into the south. Remember, we were talking about how there's Judea in the south with Jerusalem. Galilee is in the north. And in the meantime, these men go back to their fishing. And Jesus now, having been down in Judea, he leaves Judea and comes back up through Samaria and comes to the Sea of Galilee. What John sometimes calls the Sea of Tiberias. What Luke calls, rather than he calls it, the Lake of Gennesaret. Different names for the same place. But it's called the Sea of Galilee. And it's at that time that Jesus comes to them. They have gone back to their fishing when Jesus comes. You know, it's wonderful how the Lord Jesus will come to you. You don't have to be in a church for the Lord Jesus to find you. You don't need to be in the building in Arthur Street for the Lord Jesus to discover where you are and to know where you are. You don't need to be in a building like this for the Lord Jesus Christ to come and to speak with you. They were fishermen at the Sea of Galilee. Ah, how wonderful the Lord Jesus is, isn't he? He is a king. But he doesn't just walk in the great corridors of power, does he? No. He comes to fishermen by the Sea of Galilee. Fishermen that before had met with him. But now he comes with a particular purpose to these men. He's going to call them to a particular duty. He's going to call them to be fishers of men. Well then, Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee. You often see and you often hear ministers talk about Jesus being just like you and just like me. You often hear people talking about how Jesus is human because he hungers. Isn't he? You remember how I hunger, he hungered, he thirsts. You see him in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was fearful. All of that's telling you that Jesus Christ is just bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He's truly human. And here's another one. He walked. He walked by the Sea of Galilee. Is that not a great comfort to the Lord's people? Is that not a great comfort to you today? That as you walk through this world, and as you walk through this world, you come across many trials, many tribulations, many troubles. Jesus walked in this world. The one who is your great high priest walked in this world. He walked by the Sea of Galilee. He was just bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He was a man who came into this world and he walked. He walked. That's a comfort to you, because when you have troubles and when you have trials, when you have difficulties in this world, when you come up against things that almost seem so dark to you, these disciples had been fishing all night, we're told. And they had caught nothing. They had been casting out their net all night, and there wasn't a fish to be seen. Morning had come, they were tired, and yet for all that they had put out these nets, there was nothing there. And it's at that very time that Jesus comes to them. And my friend, is that not true with you and with me? That so often when there are troubles and trials and tribulations, where there are difficulties walking in this world, you're walking through this world, you're living in this world, and you have all these difficulties, you can come to a high priest who knew what it was to walk in Galilee. And he came to these disciples at the end of the night, of a dark night, when they had nothing. And who is it that came to them? Who is it that's really walking in the Sea of Galilee, beside the Sea of Galilee here? It's not just a man, is it? It's a divine person. You know, that's what we have to always remember. Whenever we read about the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not just man. And we'll see that in a minute, because he commands them to go out into the sea and cast out their nets, and they obey him. And when they obey him, and when they have obedience to him, they discover that they get a blessing. Obedience. It's better than all sacrifice. To be obedient to what the Lord Jesus says, because Jesus here is not just someone who is a man. And we see his manhood. We ought to get great comfort in the fact that Jesus walked in this world just the way you and I walk in this world. But he is also a divine person. He is God. Who is it that walks in Galilee? It's God who walks in Galilee. Who is it that goes to Jerusalem? It's God who goes to Jerusalem. Who is it that is crucified in Calvary? It is God who is crucified at Calvary, but in our nature. God manifest in the flesh. Remember what we always say, what you say about one nature, his human nature, you can say about the person. The person is divine, but the person is also human. Because he's two natures in one person. We can say that the Lord, you can't say what's human is also is divine. You can't mix up the two natures. You can't say what's true of the human nature that you can say of the divine nature, but you can say it of the person. Jesus Christ that walked in Galilee is truly human. He is in our nature, but the same one is also in his person truly God. He is God manifest in the flesh. And that ought to comfort us today, that when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. No wonder Paul says he's a great high priest. Because he walked in this world. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He walked in Galilee. That's the glory of it, isn't it? God took our nature and God walked in Galilee. In the person of Jesus Christ. He walked. But the second thing is, he saw. He saw. And you know, Jesus sees things as he's in this world, the way you and I don't see things, don't we? You know, he had eyes that he could see that you and I don't have to see. What did he see when he came in? He saw a ship. He saw two ships, actually. They were, it appears that, and Luke tells us that they were Andrew and Peter and James and John. They were really, not only were they brothers and the other one's brothers, but they were joined together in this fishing venture. Jews were allowed to fish in the Sea of Galilee. They could do that. And he came and he saw, but he saw this one ship. And what did Jesus see when he saw this one ship? What would you say you saw if you saw a ship by the Sea of Galilee? What do you think would go through your mind? You know what goes through Jesus' mind? There's a pulpit. That doesn't go through your mind, does it? But it went through Jesus' mind. There is a pulpit. And he says, cast your ship out a wee bit. And Jesus taught them from the crowd were coming in and they were pressing him. And Jesus would use every opportunity to do good and to preach and to teach these people that were blind. That he would instruct sinners. He came and there was a boat. And what does he see? The very thing, the last thing perhaps you would see, a pulpit. And they push the boat out a wee bit and Jesus preaches from this pulpit. And is that not teach us, not only do we get comfort from here, but we have been taught here that we ought to start to see things from a spiritual point of view and use every opportunity and every means of bringing the claims of our Lord Jesus Christ to sinners. We must use every means at our disposal. What is it that you have? That you may be seeing it one way today. But if you look at it, is there another way that you can see what you have today? Your home. Perhaps your home. Perhaps your transport. Perhaps in your work. Perhaps in your family situation. What is it that you've got today that you can commit the way the Lord Jesus committed this boat to preaching the gospel? What do you have at your disposal today that you can use in the service of the Lord, in the service of God, and in the Lord Jesus Christ? When Jesus came, he saw a ship. And that would be dedicated to the preaching. But not only did he see a ship, he saw fishermen. He saw Peter and Andrew there. Well, perhaps the last kind of people that you would think that ought to be preachers or apostles would be fishermen. They weren't the high and mighty in the land. They weren't the powerful in the land. They weren't the people with the great intelligence in the land. They were unlearned fishermen. They weren't qualified to be apostles. And you know, that's why Jesus came to them. That's the very reason Jesus came to them, because they were not qualified to be apostles. But he would make them to be apostles. I will make you, he says, to be fishers of men. Never think to yourself, my friend, today, that the Lord cannot use. He might not make you an apostle. He may not make you a preacher of the word. He may not make you a minister. He may not make you an elder or a deacon. But my friend, the Lord can make you what you don't think today that you are or ever could be. Bringing you and making you his servant. He can use you in ways that you never even think nor imagine. And you know, when you come to here, you go back to Ezekiel. It's wonderful when you go back to the Old Testament. You see, Ezekiel chapter 47. Jesus comes down into the Sea of Galilee. And what do you find in Ezekiel chapter 47 verse 10? And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Eneglaim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. You see, even Ezekiel is foretelling that the apostles would be one who would be great fishers of men, who would go out and spread their nets of all kinds. They would bring them in. And who is it that is going to? It's these unlearned fishermen that Jesus comes to. He comes to them. You notice, he comes to them. Perhaps when they never even imagined he would come to them. He comes to them. They didn't go to him. But he, you know, if you ever look through the gospel and discover how often he is found of them who seek him not. They are perhaps not seeking him. But he finds them out. He comes to them. He tells them to cast out that boat into the sea. He preaches to the crowd. And after they get a great mighty net of fish, he says to them, I'll make you to be fishers of men. He saw fishermen. But not only did Jesus see this fishing boat, not only did he see the fishermen, my friend, he saw the great need that there was for that gospel net to be cast out. He saw the need that there was. He saw the ignorance that there was around them. He saw the ignorance that there was and the need that there was that the blindness would be taken away. He saw the need of the people. They were like, elsewhere he uses another illustration. He says they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were needing shepherds to go out and gather them in into a flock. He was needing these fishermen to go out and cast out the net and to bring them into his kingdom. He saw what even these fishermen at that time didn't see. Did they? They were busy taking up with their nets and their fishing and their worldly employment, and they were blind to the greatest need of all. That men were in the troubled sea of this world. That they were tossed to and fro in the troubled sea of this world. And what they were leading was to be gathered in. And it's the gospel that gathers them in. And it's the gospel that blesses them. It's the gospel that brings light and joy to them. That's what the people... You know, that's why when you read in Luke's gospel, when Jesus came down, the people followed him. And they were pressing in upon him. And he says, put the boat out a bit and I'll go and stand in the boat and I'll teach them. And he could see all around him what the disciples were blind to. The great need that Israel had. They didn't need religion. They had plenty of that. They didn't need religion. What they needed was the gospel. Good news. Good news of salvation by the Saviour, the Messiah. Good news of... My friend, that's... Are you still today in the troubled waters of this world? And you still don't know that good news, the gospel. The gospel net that goes out and gathers in. Do you not still hear? Do you not hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ? Pressing upon him. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the unrighteous man forsake his ways. Let him seek after the Lord. Because there, in the troubled world of this world, where everything falls apart, where there is nothing that is secure, there is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus knew that that's above all what these people needed. And they needed fishermen to go out with the gospel net. And he says to these fishermen, I'll make you today what you don't even know. You don't even know the greatest need that these people have. You think the greatest need you have is to have your nets full of fish? You think the greatest need you have is to have your nets bulging? My friends, he says to them, that's not the greatest need. I see the greatest need. And the need is that the gospel net would go out and that sinners would be brought into the kingdom of the Lord. Is that the greatest need you see yourself having? You see, even these disciples didn't see that. The crowds that were following the Lord Jesus were hearing it, but he alone was seeing it. He alone was able to provide the answer for it. He saw the way the world didn't see. So he walked, he saw, and then he said. We are told that he said, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, and they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Come and follow me. That's what he says. And I want you to notice here, once again, we see this. Jesus doesn't come and sort of beg sinners to do this, that, there, does he? Jesus doesn't come to these men and say, please, will you do this? He comes with the imperatives. Jesus' word is the word of the imperative. That is, he's commanding. He's commanding. He doesn't say to these men, perhaps you will come. He simply says, come ye after me. Come ye after me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. What? You see, there, you're not only getting comfort in the fact that Jesus is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, but Jesus is divine. And we are told that these men left and forsook all that they had just at the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He commanded them. You remember how Peter commanded the man who was not able to walk, and he says, "Stand up and walk." But does he do that of his own power? No, he doesn't. He says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to stand up." There's the power. It's Jesus that's that power. No minister preaching has any power of his own. No Christian has any power of his own. These men would have no power of their own. Peter later recognizes he has no power of his own. But Jesus, there is the authority. Jesus commands these men, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of... What is that? That's the authority of Messiah. It's the authority of the Messiah. And look, not only does he have the authority, But when he speaks, he brings with it the very power that overcomes all the barriers and all the arguments that these men ever may have. They had already seen the power of the Lord Jesus. Remember when Jesus came to this place, he saw a ship and he saw the disciples. They were washing their nets and mending their nets. They had finished for the day. They had caught nothing. And Jesus says, go and cast your nets out on the right hand side. Do you know what Peter says? Master. Now you see, Peter recognizes the Lord. He recognizes he's a teacher. But he says, we'll go. This is nonsense. Casting your nets out. We've been out all night. And we've caught nothing all night. But because you have said it, we will go and do it. And when they went out, they had to get the other men in the other boat to come and help them drag the fish in. And you know what Peter does? He runs and he says, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. He recognizes that he's in the presence of the Lord, of Jehovah. This is more than just a teacher. He recognizes the power and the authority that this man exercises. So that when Jesus then says to him, come and follow me, all the barriers, every argument they can ever have, they melt away. Because he knows and recognizes the power and the authority that this man has. My friend, today, do you recognize the power and the authority that Jesus has to command you? Has the command that Jesus has set before us in the preaching of the gospel to repent and to believe the gospel, has that not only come with the authority of Christ, has it come with the power of the Spirit? Has it come to you that you would say, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, but I must come to you. I must come to you. And you know what made him come to him? He says, I get away, because the presence of the Lord is such that I can't abide the presence of the Lord because I'm such a sinful man. Do you know what it was that made Peter and encouraged Peter to be obedient to the command of the Lord? The command of the Lord is the very opposite of what Peter says. Depart from me. The Lord says, no, you come and follow me. Do you know what it is that gave him that? It's the consolation that Jesus gave him. He says, fear not, Peter. Fear not. Go to Luke's Gospel. And when Peter says, you know, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, and he bows down before the Lord. He wants the Lord to depart from him. And Jesus says to him, Peter, don't fear. I'm your friend. I'm your friend. Yes, you're a sinful man, but come and follow me. And you know, is it not the case that so often we need these consoling words? We need the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, fear not, but you come and follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. That's the consolation that Jesus gives. Fear not, Peter. And you know, he does more than that. He gives Peter a promise. Peter, follow me, and I promise you, I will make you to be fishers of men. Follow me and forsake everything that you have. We're told in Luke's Gospel that Peter, Andrew and Peter and James and John, they were there with their father Zebedee. And when they left Zebedee, they left the boats, they left their living, they left their father with the servants. They weren't just going to abandon him, but he was fine. They were going, and they came and they followed the Lord. And do you know what it says? Straightway. Look at it in verse 18. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Okay, see, that's obedience. And do you know why it's obedience? I believe that when you look at this, it's because they had come. Yes, Peter had come to a place where he feared, But he came to love the Lord Jesus Christ. That no matter what else could be said of Peter, and that's why the commandments, you know, what's the sum of the Ten Commandments? The sum of the Ten Commandments is love. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And there is no disjunction or opposition between love and law. The two of them are hand in hand. If ye love me, ye will keep my commandments. And at the end of the day, having been with the Lord Jesus, that's all that Peter really could say, wasn't it? Lord, whatever else you know about me, thou knowest that I love thee. I come short. I've denied thee. A young girl came and I have disgraced you. I've disgraced your cause. When you were standing and loving me, when you were standing in my place, when you were going to Calvary, I disgraced everything that I stood for and that you... But Lord, you know that I love you. That was the bottom line, isn't it? That's the sum of the Ten Commandments. That's the sum, to love. To love. And there was a promise given to that love that exercised obedience. You follow me, gentlemen. You forsake everything you've got, and I will bless you. And I will give you blessings that are more than you can ever think or imagine. And that's true, my friend. What's true of the apostles? They were going to be blessed to become apostles. Now, you're not going to be an apostle. I'm not going to be an apostle. But it's true that if you follow the Lord Jesus, they were being specifically asked to leave their nets, to leave their livelihood, to leave even the Father, to leave everything. You might not be ever asked to do that. They were being called to a specific office at a specific time, and that's what was demanded of them. But my friend, the same principles apply here. What are you willing to give up to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the question. What are you willing to forsake? Perhaps the accolades of the world? Perhaps the riches of the world? Perhaps the friendship with the world? Perhaps all these other things that are going on, that go on in your life? What are you willing to give up? Or what is it that you are putting before the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus never says that you can't enjoy the things of this world. There are things in this world. You enjoy your family. You enjoy many things, many blessings that the Lord gives you. But there's one thing you have to ask yourself. Of all the things in this world that you're giving, is there something that you put before the Lord Jesus Christ? He says to them, you follow me, and I give you a promise. And if the Lord gives you a promise, then you can be assured that's a promise that's going to be fulfilled. The Lord gives us promises. You go to the Bible, and there are promises the Lord gives you that he will bless you, that he will look after you, he will never leave you, he will never forsake you. Go, you know, as you grow up in this world, things will change, but there's one thing, if you follow the Lord, he will bless you, he will give you blessings that you cannot even think about, the world doesn't even know anything about, even the crowds there didn't know about. But the Lord said to these men, you follow me and I'll bless you. And that's true today. That's true today. What do we learn then from these words? First of all, it puts a blessing even on our labours, whatever the Lord would have us to do. I don't know what some of the young people here, as they grow up in this world, what are you going to do? What's going to be employment? What are you going to work at? Perhaps in this world, I don't know what you're going to do. What's going to happen? But look at how the Lord here put his own blessing on labour. These fishermen were in the middle of their labours, and the Lord met them there. And even when they were working, it was a source of blessing because the Lord came and blessed them. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work. People today see labour as almost a bad thing. You know, people try to get things without even working, without anything. But look at the great blessing that there was Do you seek the blessing of the Lord as you labour, as you work? Do you seek the Lord's presence? Look at what they were called to, the preaching, and the main thing was that they would go out and cast out their nets. What do you think about the preaching of the gospel? What do you see as the main duty of a preacher or a minister of the gospel? It's to cast out that net in the preaching of the word. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 47, the Lord gives you a parable of the kingdom. And one of the parables of the kingdom is that the fisherman goes out and casts out his net. And it's not very much, is it? When the Lord comes to these men, they're actually sitting mending their nets. They're not very pretty, are they? You ever go down to the shore and you see nets there? They're not exactly very appetizing. But that's what the Lord says. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. I will use those things that the world despises, thinks nothing of. I will use a net and I will cast the gospel out like a net, the meanness of that net, and it'll be cast out into the sea. The sea of what? The sea of this world. The tempests of this world. The world's, you can see the world's like the sea. Financial institutions go by the wayside. Great communism goes by the wayside. And there's turbulence. Who is there in this world that doesn't have difficulties? Their death comes into your experience and your family's experience and your world turns upside down. Here it is, a world of turmoil. A world that's like a sea, like going round the Cape of Good Hope with a storm. That's what the world's like. And that's what the net's cast out into. And it draws in of every kind. The good and the bad. The Lord says that's what the kingdom is. That's what the church is. The gospel goes out and it draws in the good and the bad. And at the end of the day, you ever seen fishermen at the end of a fishing? That they've got their nets in and they pull the nets into the boat and they empty the nets. And then what do they do? What's the next thing they do? They sit there and they go through them. That's a bad fish. That's a bad fish. That's no use. There's a good one. We'll leave that one. And they sort them out, throwing the bad and the good. Jesus says that's what it will be at the end of the day. The church is like the gospel net, cast out, drawing in. But at the end of the day it says, when the nets are full, that's when the gospel's done its work in this world. Once the gospel has done all its work in this world, everything, the nets will be drawn in. And then they will cast the bad away into eternal fire. In other words, there's a judgment day. There's a judgment day. A day coming when we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And the net's cast out draws in, and it draws in good and bad. Where do you stand? And where will you stand on that day? It says the very angels will come, and they will sort out that net. The Lord Jesus Christ will come. And that net that's drawn in, you could read it for yourself in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. They will bring in the good and the bad. Cast out the bad. My friend, where will you stand on that judgment day? Jesus walked. What a comfort. Jesus saw. What a challenge. And Jesus said, do we hear what Jesus says? Follow me. And I'll make you what the world can never make you. But I'll make you that you will be a blessing. Let us pray. Gracious and ever blessed Lord, we thank thee for thy mercies to us every day. We pray that thou would bless our gathering here together. We pray that thou would see us to our homes in safety. Grant us grace that we would look to thee, the giver of every good and perfect gift. Bless us according to the needs that we have. Thou knowest all our needs. The Lord Jesus was able to see the great needs that even these fishermen didn't realize, that even the people themselves were not aware of. Yet the Lord saw their need, that they needed the gospel. We pray that today we would value the great privileges that are ours. Pardon us all our sins.
Let's go.